May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 690. On wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, his wonders see, his sermons hear, and think him nothing worth. Hymn 690.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We'll read together the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city gathered together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honourable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us. And may he help us now in prayer. Merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we are gathered again in this house of prayer for worship. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless us with thy presence and thy help here this evening. We pray that the word of life may enter into our hearts. Pray, Lord, that the preaching and reading of thy word may be applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord, that thou lead us into the truth as it is in Jesus, and lead us into gospel liberty. And that, Lord, grant us each that sense of our sins forgiven and that peace with God which passeth all understanding. Grant us, Lord, thy blessing. Grant us, Lord, thy presence. Oh, we pray for that washing and that cleansing from all our sin. We pray, Lord, that thou look upon us through thy dear Son, that we may stand in him, be found in him, find our acceptance in him, and may we each be found believing in him, putting our trust in him, and looking to him for all things. Lord, we pray that thou bless and be with each who gather here this evening, those unable to be here but are listening in. Lord, do grant thy blessing in their souls, and may thy presence and thy blessing that we pray for and seek here be known where they are, and unite us in our worship this evening. Lord, we come just as we are. Lord, do grant us that knowledge or that acceptance for sinners at thy feet. Lord, do encourage us. Lord, compel us to come to thy feet. Lord, may we, Lord, not be hindered because of our filthiness, our wretchedness by nature, because of our sins and our many failings and backslidings. May we, Lord, be found with that sweet persuasion that this man sitteth and eateth with sinners. And so, Lord, we pray that thou lead us by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray the Holy Spirit may come and lead us in our thoughts and our considerations, and lead us in our hope, and direct our faith to him, whom to know is life eternal. We pray that we may come in confession and true godly sorrow, in true repentance. Lord, we pray that thou grant us each a truly sorrowful heart, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Lord, we pray that we may come in our state and condition as sinners and find thy blood all sufficient to cleanse us from all our sin. Well, then do take us each and plunge us in, we pray, to that fountain which is open for sin and for uncleanness, and wash us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And Lord, do create in us each that clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. And Lord, may we walk as thy children are exhorted to walk, walking worthy of that high calling. Lord, what a high standard. Walk worthy. But oh, we pray that in every step we may be found looking unto Jesus, who is worthy. And oh, we pray that our eyes may ever be upon him. We may be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, we look for more than just a wonderful and blessed and sacred example of how we should live, but we look for that righteousness which is his, which is to be imputed to thy dear people. Oh, we look to thee in all our need, in our shortcomings and failings. Oh, we look for that life of a spotless, perfect man. And oh, we would seek our hiding place there. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant us each that precious gift of the knowledge of Christ's righteousness being ours by imputation. Oh, we pray that it may be a sweet hope treasured up in our hearts as we wait in this body of sin for that great change which must come through death. Lord, do prepare us for thy will and for thy way. Lord, we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. Lord, the old must die, the young may die. Oh, we say not these things lightly, Lord, but with a true understanding and that need to be prepared of thee. Oh, Lord, we do pray and thank thee for the multitude of thy mercies. We are surrounded by them. And Lord, thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thy mercy has spared us, and thy grace has given. And oh, may we know more of thy grace. And Lord, may we prove more of thy mercy. Lord, do bless the children, the young people, watch over, keep and guide them. Deliver them, Lord, from all the temptations, from all the evil influences that are around them. Lord, do put thy fear in their hearts. And then, Lord, they shall not depart from thee all the days of their lives. Lord, who grant help to parents in bringing up their children. And grant, Lord, help to each in the pathway that thou hast called them to walk. Those, Lord, that have disappointments, may they, Lord, see them as thy appointments. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt supply that grace, that we may humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. O Lord, may we prove the truth of that word. May we prove by experience that we are bound up in it. O Lord, do remember us in this dark and evil day we live. Remember the Church of God in this dark and evil day. Remember our nation. Remember our King and the royal household, our Prime Minister, those in authority and influence in our country. We pray that there may be those influences for good. We pray, Lord, that thou restrain the power of sin in our day and generation, and that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit. There may be a spirit of godliness poured out in this nation. There may be many turning into the house of God to hear the word of the Lord. Lord, we pray, do pour out thy Spirit. Attend the preached and read word with divine power, that it may be made powerful and effectual in the hearts of those that read and hear. Lord, who grant us each an ear to hear and a heart to receive. And Lord, we pray that we may be fruitful in our hearing. Do, Lord, help us each. Remember us as we hope to meet at thy table at the close of this service. Lord, we pray thy presence and thy blessing. Oh, that we may lose sight of each other. We may see no man save Jesus only. Oh, may, Lord, our meditation of thee be sweet. Oh, do, Lord, use and sanctify these things to us. And Lord, may there be that strengthening from this ordinance for those that partake. May there be a burning desire in the hearts of those that do not partake, and that desire to be found following in obedience thy gospel commands. So, Lord, we pray thy blessing and thy presence and thy favour to be made known here. And, Lord, at the close of this service, do send us away with something from thee. O Lord, speak the word only. Grant, Lord, that there may be that which abides in our hearts, that which is sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that which will not be taken from us. Do pardon all that is amiss. Wash and cleanse us and our worship. Lord, may it all be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, we pray that we may be made right and ready for that great day. Lord, do take all our sins away and forgive us anything amiss. And Lord, do pardon the poverty of our worship and prayer. Make up in giving, Lord, where we have failed to ask, as we ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake alone. Amen.
Let us now sing part of hymn 792. I'll read the first two verses. We'll commence at verse 3. Faith in the bleeding Lamb, oh, what a gift is this! Hope of salvation in his name, how comfortable 'tis! Knowledge of what is right, how God is satisfied! A foe received a favourite, an alien made a child. Hymn 792, commencing at verse 3.
Oh,
turn with me to the chapter we read, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verses 38 and 39. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. This is the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Well, all true gospel preaching is through this man. It is in his name. But really the emphasis here is that the forgiveness of sins, which is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, is through and only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And may you and I be blessed with a true understanding of this. Be it known unto you, therefore. And may it be known truly, known and felt, that it is through this man, Jesus Christ, and him crucified, that a sinner's sins are put away, that forgiveness is obtained, and that pardon and that peace made between Almighty God and a poor, unworthy sinner. Writing to the Colossians, Paul says in the opening chapter of Colossians, verse 14, in whom we have redemption. This same Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Is that what you and I stand in need of? Is it what you and I feel to stand in need of this evening? There seems to be so much sin. There seems to be so much carnality, so much worldliness. That need as a sinner before a holy, heart-searching God. Is sin a trouble to you? Is it a concern to you? Is it that burden? Is it that which torments your mind, fills your heart with fear? Well, there is good news. That the gospel brings good news to such. And it is that good news of salvation. That way of forgiveness. It reveals a name. And the name of Jesus. The eternal Son of God. Who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And bring them back to God through that Red Sea of his own blood. In putting away the sin of his people, he offered himself as that spotless sacrifice. And we see from the garden right through to Calvary as we trace out the sufferings of the dear Saviour. This stream of blood, all that flowed from his veins, that which cleanseth us from all sin, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. That's what brings in forgiveness for a guilty, wretched sinner, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Nothing less, nothing short of it will do. Great price for the greatest of sinners. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, how I've had to thank the Lord for that word in that verse. All sin. All sin. Oh, what is it then that's a concern, a trouble, a plague to your soul this evening? Is it not contained in that all sin? Be it known unto you, therefore. Oh, to know this, it is, isn't it, the ultimate knowledge that anyone can have. To know this, our hymn writer says, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. And it does. It passeth all knowledge. It goes beyond the best of intellectual power of man. That the knowledge of Christ is more precious than gold. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. It was how the publican came, wasn't it? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's what it is, dear friends. If you are truly seeking the forgiveness of your sin, you're pleading the blood. That's what you're doing. And I would encourage those of you that are seeking, and those of you that whose hearts are so troubled with your sin, in your confession of sin, as the Lord so leads you to pour out your hearts before him, plead the blood. Plead that blood which did for sin atone. It's a sinner's only acceptance before a holy God. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The destroying angel looked for one thing on the Passover night. Not a name. Not a name. Not a family name. Not to be a Jew by birth. But to be one to shelter beneath the blood. And surely That is the outworking of faith. You think of it, that night that the destroying angel was to pass over the land of Egypt, and no doubt because of their very serving of the Egyptians, that their homes were probably, some of them, mingled with others. But what was it? They were looking. This destroying angel looks for that blood. What a thing to shelter beneath. Oh, is that you, poor sinner? Have you that like faith? Oh, that you can, as it were, by sweet application, apply the blood to the doorposts and the lintels, and then go in and wait. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Oh, but I'm the firstborn. Oh, will it prove sufficient? Will it be that which separates me? Or will I perish on that Passover night? Oh, the sheltering. And it was sheltering by faith. You know, it should be a token for you. It should be a token for you. But it should be a sign for me. It should be a token for you. And it's by the sweet application. That's your token. And it's on the doorposts and lintels. And then you go in and you don't see it. It's a token. You won't see it. He sees it. He sees it. Oh, friends, there's some precious things set forth in that Passover night, isn't it? Oh, and what it is to shelter by faith. Rest under the promise and hope in it. Put your trust in it. Oh, friends, none shall be ashamed that wait for him. When I see the blood, when I see it, I will pass over you. Oh, there's that precious place then. Precious place of a Passover. Oh, the destroying angel passing over, and passing by the all-prevailing blood, the blood of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. Though that night was put to death, was sacrificed, and the blood was there for a token. And so it is the night in which he was betrayed. Oh, our Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, that we might be passed over. Oh, that the sword of divine justice might pierce and smite the shepherd, and that the sheep in Christ's fold might go free. Oh, that they may know what it is, oh, to have that one to stand in their place instead of them, to suffer, to bleed, and to die in the Lord Jesus. No, he took the Passover, didn't he, with his disciples? And what did he bring in? Well, he brought in the very ordinance that we hope at the close of this service to remember. He brought in that sweet and precious ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Let us therefore keep the feast, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Oh, there's no joy to be compared to that sense that a sinner's sins is put away, is forgiven, cast behind their back, behind his back, remembered no more. Oh, that which testified against them can no longer be found. As that scapegoat, whereby the sinner would put his hands upon the head, or the priest on his behalf would put his hands on the head of that goat, and by way of transferal, it would transfer that sin onto that scapegoat, and then that one to be led away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness to not be seen again, taking it out of the way into the land of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. Oh, precious, precious is that forgiveness. Oh, it's put away. It's blotted out. I've blotted out as a cloud thy sins, as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. Preached unto you the forgiveness of sins through this man. Through this man. You know, friends, it is a worrying thing when a soul is brought to realise that he's a sinner or she's a sinner. And deeply concerning it is when that one is brought to see that he has no power in and of himself to remedy the situation. You know, we have no power to remove one of our own sins. We have no way of removing, deleting, blocking out, however you might want to describe it. We cannot undo that which is done in and of ourselves. The hymn writer says, the more I strove against its power, the power of sin, I sin and stumble, but the more. Oh, you can't keep yourself from sinning. But should you have a few moments in your life when you actually do that which is pleasing in the sight of God, friend, it cannot in any way offset and counteract and counterbalance that which you have committed. And can we ever do anything from a pure heart? Oh, we may do some things that are pleasing in the sight of God, but when they come from such a guilty one, surely we see that sin is mixed with all we do. Do we have any pure thoughts? Anything pure? Can anything clean come from such a one that is so unclean? Oh, the condition, the solemn state and condition of our souls by nature. We're in dreadful trouble, aren't we? And oh, what a favour to be found with an understanding of it while still on the ground of mercy, still this side of the grave, with still the throne of God's grace and a place of acceptance in prayer at the feet of the dear Saviour of sinners. Oh, praise the Lord for those of you that know something of it. He that hath begun a good work. Now, there's no contradiction. You know, it doesn't feel to be good when you're exposed, when your sin is made something sinful to you, when something of the corruptions of your heart are made known to you. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel to be good work. Now, Paul says, he said he died, didn't he? In relating that, when the law was brought before him, and he says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy. That is to obey the law and keep its commandments. And just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, the law, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And he goes on, doesn't he? And he comes to that conclusion, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Question mark. What's the answer? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, he found that place of refuge that the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. And the guilty and the weak and the tempted by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Through him is preached forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe, all without exception, all that believe are justified from all things. All past offences, all transgressions of the law, all breaking of his holy commandments, everything that comes short of the honour and glory of God, all things, at all times. Oh, what a precious word we have. What precious things we have in both verses this evening. We have the forgiveness of sins and we have the justification of the sinner. Being justified by faith in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be justified? What is justified? What is it? Justified. It's made righteous in the sight of God. That's what it is to be justified. The meaning of justified concerning spiritual things. Justified. Made righteous in the sight of God, or declared to be righteous in the sight of God, justified by him. Mark the word, by him. We are not justified by our own works. Bildad, as written in Job chapter 25, Bildad says this. He declares the sovereignty of God, and then he says this: how then can man be justified with God? This is Job 25, verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the Son of Man which is a worm? How then can man be justified with God? How can man, fallen man, corrupt man, be justified, be made righteous in the sight of God, to be declared righteous at that great day in the sight of God, declared by God to be righteous? How can it be? By him, we're told. The gospel, it sets forth a sinner being justified through faith in Jesus Christ. By him, all that believe are justified, are declared to be righteous. By him they are made righteous in the sight of God. Out of him, they stand in their own strength. They stand in their own state, and they stand as they are seen, sinners. In Christ Jesus. Oh, what a difference. Oh, in him. Oh, standing in him. To be found in him was Paul's desire, that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. What did he seek? He sought the righteousness of Christ. That righteousness which is of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and be found in him and know him. Oh, that precious, those precious words in Paul's epistle to the Philippians. By him all that believe are justified from all things. And he goes on to say, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law, dear friends, cannot justify you and I, because we cannot keep it, because we have broken it, because we have gone against the holy commands of God. We have broken his law. We have transgressed. We have not kept it. We cannot be justified by it. And our keeping of it, if we could keep it, if you could promise, if you could act good and proper according to the holy law of God for the rest of your days, if you could, and you can't, but if you could, What about all the past offences? Because your keeping of it from this point in time onward cannot remove anything of the past. It cannot make you righteous in the sight of God. The law has its work. Paul speaks of it. He says it was his schoolmaster. He speaks of it in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. In what sense? To bring us unto Christ. In other words, the law was that which was his schoolmaster to bring him to the place of learning and understanding. You think of a schoolmaster rounding up the children and bringing them to the place of learning. Well, that's what the law does. The law, he says, was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Not to purify us, not to perfect us, not to put away our sin, but to bring a sinner guilty before God, to bring him with a sense of his own guilt before God, and under the Spirit's leading and teaching. The law has its work, has its place, and can take a sinner so far. And where is it? To the place of understanding. I have sinned against the Lord. To teach us, to school us in this. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith, not by the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And so the law has its work, and the law has its place, and the law is needful. But the law, dear friends, does not bring you hope. And you won't find your peace with God in the law. You only find peace with God if the law brings you to look to Christ. All the while you're looking to the law, all the while you're looking to your own self and your keeping of that law and your own good deeds and good works, you will not have that peace. You will not have that forgiveness of your sin. It is that the law might show to us, be brought into our heart as a witness against us. That it might be that which we are measured against, sufficiently enough to see that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then, the grace of God turns the eye of a sinner in his felt sense of sin to look away from that law and to look to Jesus Christ. Oh, we have, don't we? Read it, friends, in your own times. Romans chapter 3 and 2, it speaks of us not being justified by the law. And we have this in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So I'll read you the verse before, verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. That's it, isn't it? That's where the law stops. That's the end of the law, isn't it? Guilty before God. Where was the hope? Under the law for Achan. Where was it? Where was the hope for him at the feet of Joshua? Where could Joshua look? Where could Joshua administer some forgiveness? Where could there be any? None in the law, was there? And he was put to death in the valley of Achor. What a difference. The feet of Jesus. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And he goes on to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, Christ's righteousness, not yours or mine, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And he goes on to say, therefore we conclude, verse 28 of Romans 3, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Without the deeds of the law. Justified by faith. Oh, that is, isn't it, a precious thing, to be justified, to be made righteous in the sight of a holy God, to be made right in his sight. Oh, we must close, but we go back to Colossians and chapter 1. And we see this in verse 21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you. And this is justification, isn't it? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's faith in Jesus Christ. Or to, as a sinner, to look away from your own failings and your own shortcomings when you see the law and you see the holy word of God and how you have failed in your keeping of it. You've sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord will direct your eyes to look away from yourself. Pour not on yourself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind and strong. Mercy joined with power. Mercy to save, power to save. His righteousness, the sinner's only hope. His blood, the sinner's only plea, a perfect and complete Saviour. Oh, does he measure up? Oh, how does he compare in his righteousness and his precious blood to you and your sin? Oh, unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. Oh, his blood cleanseth us from all sin. His righteousness, a perfect answer to all the holy demand of God through the law. He lived it on behalf of his people. that they might be justified, that they may be made righteous in the sight of God. And be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And Mr. Tim Kingham is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 798. 798. Faith in Jesus can repel the darts of sin and death. Faith gives victory over hell, but who can give us faith? Hope in Christ the soul revives, supports the spirits when they droop. Hope celestial comfort gives, but who can give us hope? Hymn 798.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.